Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 45 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today is Wednesday, March 28th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A high-profile tax issue that's been sitting on the assembly table for months will have to sit there a little longer. The assembly voted to postpone further discussion of the senior citizen sales tax initiative until May. That's when the assembly is set to vote on its 2013 budget. The proposal now parked on the table would limit the senior sales tax exemption to only those with low incomes. The postponement happened in the middle of discussion last night about an amendment by Phyllis Hackett to grandfather in those seniors who already have the exemption. And another tax issue was killed last night. The plan to redistribute the fish box sales tax was defeated on a 3-3 vote. Under the proposed ordinance, 60% of the money would go to the Harbor Department, with 20% chunks going to both the general fund and fish enhancement. The proposal's defeat means the distribution will not change. 30% of the tax will go to harbors, 30% will go for fish enhancement, and 40% will be sent to the general fund. The Sitka Assembly last night promised $300,000 to the Sitka School District. The money is basically a pledge to provide extra money in case school funding from state and federal sources doesn't come through. If the money does come through, the schools will pay back the city. The Sitka schools must complete its budget for next year before it knows whether it's getting additional funding from the state or federal governments. Assemblymember Tor Christensen suggested that the city pledge some money that would be paid only if the other sources don't come through. But Christensen's suggestion didn't come without controversy. Earlier this month, Mayor Cheryl Westover involuntarily recused Christensen from discussion about the money. Christensen's wife teaches in the school district, and Westover said Christensen mentioned her wish to have lower class sizes immediately before he proposed the additional funding. She said he had an extreme bias. Westover reiterated her stance last night, again ruling that Christensen should not be able to participate in the conversation. Westover gave Christensen time to rebut her ruling, but cut him off when he suggested her ruling was politically motivated.
I do believe that this is motivated because of, to get my vote off. I've made that very clear.
Okay, now.
I can continue to vote. I can continue to explain why I don't think this is appropriate.
You can't.
And I can and I will. And this is, frankly, I don't believe that anything I said even reaches the level of extreme bias. And
made my statement. Thank you.
Westover ordered the microphones turned off and put the assembly into recess. It's the second time she's cut the mics on an assembly member. The first was when Phyllis Hackett failed to yield after being called out of order during a January debate over Pacific High School. After the recess, the assembly voted unanimously to override Westover's ruling. Christensen was allowed back into the debate. Sitka School Superintendent Steve Bradshaw said the city has the ability to help out the school district.
In 2009, we took better than a 5% cut, and you added $1.8 million to your reserves. At least that's what your books show.
Assemblymember Terry Blake took exception to Bradshaw's volume.
Now that you've sat here and yelled at me,
I'm sorry.
I don't know where to begin.
Okay.
Last year, I was very supportive of the schools. We were very proactive about moving money your way, and you know I was at that table. But the way I've been treated here tonight, I don't know what to say to you, sir.
Bradshaw apologized for his volume, saying he was a coach for a long time and has a gym voice. Blake noted that other school districts in Alaska are making massive cuts and wanted to know whether Sitka was doing the same thing. The school board is set to decide that tonight. Bradshaw told the assembly the board is considering three scenarios. In the best case, the district leaves $169,000 in reserves, which allows it to add a special education teacher and an elementary teacher and make no cuts, but it depletes most of the district's reserve. In the worst case, the district cuts its middle school shop program, makes an elementary librarian into a half-time position, and reduces a paraprofessional position.
But I would venture a guess that there is no school district that's making the kind of cuts that they're making that are using up their entirety of their reserve.
Christensen said he felt comfortable guaranteeing $300,000 for the district. He said doing so will allow the district some room to plan and that the schools might not even need the money by the time it would be issued.
It's, like I say, I think really going to be paper moving around on a sheet, really, because, frankly, they need to know they have it. They don't actually need to have it. So there's a pretty decent chance that Mr. Sweeney may never write a check, but they just need to know it's there.
Westover added that she had just returned from a trip to Washington, D.C. and felt reasonably comfortable that some amount of federal money would come to the schools this year. The assembly voted 6-1 to give the school district the money. Pete Esquiro voted no. The school board is scheduled for a final vote on its budget tonight at 7 p.m. in the district office boardroom. In the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery, this year's guideline harvest level, or GHL, is nearly 10,000 tons above last year's. That's good news for the 48 permit holders in one of Alaska's most lucrative fisheries, but it's also raised concerns with Sitka's local tribal government, which has mounted a publicity campaign to protest the harvest level. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Last year, the commercial fleet pulled about 19,400 tons of herring from Sitka Sound. This year, that number is around 29,000 tons. The big jump comes after the state corrected the way it ages the herring. An error in determining age meant that scientists were underestimating the biomass and therefore setting a lower harvest level. Fish and Game says, in essence, the increase in the harvest level is setting the bar back where it should have been all along. But the Sitka Tribe of Alaska disagrees, and it has taken to newspapers throughout southeast Alaska to say so. A series of ads placed in the Sitka Sentinel, the Ketchikan Daily News, and the Juneau Empire state that 29,000 tons is roughly equal to 58 million pounds, and one of the ads claims that that is enough herring to cover a football field in 20 feet of the silverfish. The ads call the harvest excessive.
Our concern is we wanted people to visualize what was being removed from the waters around Sitka, and then to begin to question if those overall biomass numbers are correct.
Jeff Feldpausch is Resource Protection Director for the Sitka Tribe.
I myself didn't know what 58 million pounds of herring looked like, so we ended up doing some sample weights. We bought a box of bait herring from one of the cold storages, took the weight, the dimensions, figured out the density of herring, and then converted that back out through the 58 million pounds. And, gave people a good idea of what 58 million pounds of herring looks like.
Fish and Game points out that the harvest is only ever 20% of the entire biomass. So if we use that same math about the football field, the fish taken might be 20 feet high, but the fish left behind would be another 80 feet high. The tribe has doubts about the state's methodology. Feldpausch says the state's data is based on three-year-old herring.
So that means there's 2-3 years of data that they don't know what's happening out there. And a precipitous decline in those particular years, brood years, won't be caught in the model until they hit age 3. So you could be significantly over-harvesting these fish and not know it for several years.
Well, I think the Department of Fish and Game has the best management and science anywhere in Alaska or anywhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Steve Reifenstuhl is executive director of the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance, which represents the commercial fleet.
When the Department of Fish and Game took over management in the 60s, when we became a state, the biomass for the Sitka Sound herring was around 5,000 tons or a little less. Today, it's in excess of 145,000 tons, over a 20-fold increase. I think that speaks for the health of the resource. It speaks to the good management and the good science that the department delivers.
Reifenstuhl says the fishery benefits everyone in Sitka. It helps keep the city's raw fish tax revenue up. And the hundreds of people who come to town every year to fish or to support the fishery serve as something of a jumpstart for local merchants. The tribe and the commercial fleet have found some common ground. A deal struck at the State Board of Fisheries meeting last month set up a subsistence-only zone in Sitka Sound. Roughly, the zone is between the southern portion of Middle Island and all the way down to the breakwater at the north end of Sitka Channel. Reifenstuhl says it was a good compromise.
It demonstrates that both sides were willing to come to the middle, even if they disagreed about the parameters. And I think that really this time, at this time, is time for healing. The compromise was made. That's good for Sitka, and it's good for the resource in the sense that the herring fishery can go on. Subsistence needs can be met. They have been met in the past. And that's good for Sitka's economy.
The final zone is smaller than the tribe's original request, but Feldpausch says it's still considered a victory. The tribe's advertisements are done running for now, but one of the ads was done running a long time ago. The tribe pulled an ad placed in Sitka that upset the city's Chamber of Commerce. It carried the headline, "Sitka Chamber of Commerce Protests Commercial Herring Fishery." Below that, in smaller type, the date of the protest, July 3rd, 1954.
At that point in time, it made sense.
Chamber Executive Director Jennifer Robinson.
There was a significant lack of regulation, and herring reduction was actually one of the earliest commercial herring fisheries practiced as early as 1878 in Southeast Alaska, and it was one of the most destructive fisheries. And so the Sitka Chamber was concerned at that time.
Herring reduction refers to the practice of catching the fish to be reduced to oil and meal. The herring reduction fishery peaked in the 1920s and 30s at about 113,000 tons. Stocks declined, and cheaper foreign sources of fish oil soon killed the fishery. The last reduction plant closed in the mid-1960s. That's about the time the state took over management of the fishery, and Sitka's current herring fishery came out of growing demand for sack roe in Japan in the 1970s. Robinson, with the chamber, says her organization favors, quote, a conservative, science-based approach to managing the current fishery, and that they trust the state to manage the fishery well. She says the chamber does not oppose the herring fishery in its current form. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Rain is likely today in Sitka, highs around 50, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. This is KCAW, Sitka.